Welcome to Boston's Best, a podcast where you go behind the scenes with financial planner Mark Condon as he asks industry-leading experts in and around Boston to talk about their businesses. Mark will find out what sets these companies apart from their competition and how they have risen above the inevitable challenges they have faced along the way to their ultimate success. And now, here's your host, Mark Condon.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode 99 of Boston's Best, brought to you by Condon Productions. My guests on today's podcast are Cody and Elaine Johnston. They are the owners of Reckless Media. If you're thinking about starting a podcast or already have one, I can't recommend Cody and Elaine enough. I was a podcast virgin 2+ years ago with an idea to help promote local businesses. I was introduced to Reckless Media, and they are the masters behind the editing and content creation you see for Boston's Best on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all social media platforms. They have been in the podcast game since 2013 and do a phenomenal job. Cody and Elaine took different paths in high school and college. At Elaine's college, a mutual friend of theirs wanted to set them up. They ended up at this event together that the friend didn't even go to, and they quickly realized they were the ones their friend tried getting together. Music is a huge passion of Cody's, and that's how he got into media production at a young age. He was then doing podcasting for churches before podcasting was even a thing. And Elaine started writing the show notes for a friend of hers who was running a podcast. Her friend then asked if she knew anyone who edits audio. That's when the light bulb went off and Reckless Media took off. And be sure to listen to the end as Cody and Elaine share the advice they'd give someone looking to start their own business, what they would tell their 18-year-old selves, and how they define success in any given year. And so with that introduction, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Boston's Best. Good morning. This week we have Cody and Elaine Johnston. They are the owners of Reckless Media. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to have you guys on here. Most people don't know. You guys are the masters behind all the content that's created for Boston's Best over the last 2 years. So It's only long overdue. I appreciate you guys coming on the podcast.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you for having us. We're honored to be a part.
Absolutely. So I guess you kind of know the format and the questions. You guys probably know the questions better than anyone else over there.
We're very big fans. Yes.
The last 99 episodes.
Number one listener.
I'm sure. So give us a little background on the two of you, how Reckless got started and, you know, all that.
Okay. So we'll start about, let's see, do we want to start like us or do we want to start with business? Because there's two different avenues.
Let's start with you two.
Okay.
I don't even know the story and I've known you for 2 years.
So, my name is Cody. I grew up, let's just start here because I know I've heard a lot of, your thoughts on like college and stuff like that. We have different backgrounds with college and stuff. So let me just start there.
Sure.
Whenever I graduated, I was homeschooled my later half. I went to like a normal school for a while. I got sick of it. I did not flourish in that environment at all. I was the kid that was like always done with my work and bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
And like hated every minute of it. So I did homeschooling, graduated from that. I was originally going into occupational therapy because my uncle owns a rather large therapy company. It was like guaranteed money for me, right? Like I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And man, I was just like sick as a dog filling out the application. Like my stomach hurt. I thought I was going to have to like run to the bathroom to throw up. I was like, this just does not feel right. So I didn't do that. But I was scared to death because I was like, everyone says, you've got to go to college. You've got to go to college. Like that's what you have to do. And I was like, man, I don't know if that's what I want. So I ended up not doing that against like many people's better judgment. Luckily, I had a father who was like super like he's always the idea guy, right? Like if you don't rein him in, he's just like off in outer space somewhere with new ideas. And so I talked to him. He like approved, like which like kind of gave me that grounding I needed. I didn't do that. I ended up interning for a church and becoming a pastor. I was a pastor for quite a few years. I'm big into music. I know you can't really see it right now, but the studio, if I turn this camera around, there's like 6 guitars here, bass and a ton of acoustics here. And then I have like 30 other instruments just littered across in front of me.
Wow.
So, music's like my main passion, which is kind of how I got into media production at a young age. I started learning Photoshop and audio editing and stuff because I was producing music for my band at the time. So got into all of that world, started doing podcasting for churches. That's how I first got into podcasting back before podcasting was like even a thing, right? Like, this was back before like you could just like get on Anchor and like throw something on there and like start a podcast. So worked through that, like learning audio editing, all of that fun stuff. Ended up stepping down from the whole like church deal and kind of going rogue, I guess.
And let me interrupt. So were churches like early podcast adopters?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would not have guessed that.
They would put their sermons on the app so you could go back and listen to their services.
Yeah. So churches, churches are wildly pioneers for a lot of media stuff. Yeah. So like I was a youth pastor and the worship pastor of this church. Okay. And so like, I remember like busing kids across to like Alabama and stuff to go to like these church retreats. And I remember like blown away. They had actual colleges dedicated to media production at these churches. And like, I've never in my life been on a shoot where I have seen two or three independent, like fully electronic arm cranes carrying like these huge Sony Vega cameras that are shooting 4K, you know, like $50,000 cameras on these $100,000 boom arms flying around stages. It's ridiculous the amount of money churches can spend on media stuff.
I could imagine.
So, and now churches are pretty pioneering of streaming stuff. So like they're kind of, so yeah, it's a cool, like it was a good way to learn, I guess. Like I got my hands dirty on it, started doing like some audio production for some like live shows, mixing live sound, that kind of stuff. And like, just love everything about audio production. It's kind of ridiculous. Like, it's what I do for a living. And then when I get done, I just open a new tab and start on my own stuff. So
that's awesome.
And then to finish up my little bit, so aside from that, like I said, I still produce music. And then I guess I met her, and I'll let you share your side now.
Yeah, so I went to public school my entire life, and I did go to college. I have my degree in psychology. Originally, I was going to go to college to be a forensic anthropologist. So I wanted to do like detective. I didn't want to be a police officer, but I wanted to do like, you know, the show Bones. Or like Dexter, like I wanted to be involved, like a blood analysis, cool all that stuff. Yeah, I thought it was super cool. And I was even, so I went to, we're both from Arkansas.
If you can't tell by, I don't know how bad our accent is because I'm immune to it. So
so I went to school in Arkansas and I was actually gonna transfer to Tennessee because they have like a human body farm at their campus and I was gonna be all involved. But then I realized I had to be a police officer and I was like, I don't want any part of that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Sounds fun. Yeah. So I had to do that, at least in the state of Arkansas. I had to do that for at least a year and I did not want any part of that. And then the more I started getting into it, I realized that a lot of the stuff that I was going to be doing would be lab work. I wouldn't be actually at the crime scenes. I would have to do all the stuff like behind the scenes and none of it sounded fun. So I got my degree in psychology and my minor was actually entrepreneurship. So I took a lot of business classes. Really, one of my biggest passions is writing. So back whenever I was in second grade, I'll never forget, for my 8th birthday party, my parents got me a journal and I have kept every journal since second grade. And whenever I was in high school, I started blogging and was just talking about like my life, my random thoughts. Nobody read it. Nobody even knew really what a blog was back then, that I had like two people who read it and stuff. And then I went to college and we actually met at college, which he didn't go to college, but there was.
But we met at college. Yes. Yeah. I was invited by a friend.
Yes. There was like a student event and we just kind of like met each other there. Yep. But our mutual friend had actually like was telling me about this guy who like was telling me about his interests. And she's like, you would just really like vibe with this person. And then she was talking to him about this girl, but it was us. Yeah. And she was supposed to be at this event and she wasn't there. But we like just randomly started talking and then realized that we were the person that she was talking to. Yeah. And so we quickly started dating. And then really from there, like we have another business, a concessionaire business. And so whenever I was in college, I was also running this business. I remember one of my small business classes the whole semester was dedicated to having local business owners come and talk about their business. And we had to write like a one-page essay on like what we loved about what they had to say. And I remember talking to, I don't remember who the company was, but this, my professor and the small business owner were asking questions around the classroom. They were like, who owns a business? And I was like the only person who raised my hand. I was like, yeah, so I have this concessionaire business and everything. And they literally looked at me and they were like, why are you here? Why are you wasting your money at college when you have a successful business? And I was like, what? I don't know why.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I was already had like student loans, so I finished it out. But nice. So. And really, our media business kind of blossomed pre-COVID because actually we had a friend who was really into podcasting, and she knew that I loved writing, and she was like, "Hey, I don't really want to write my own show notes. I'll pay you if you just write them. And then it just kind of blossomed from there. She had a guest who said, hey, who does your show notes? I really love how they do the descriptions and the links and everything. And then just one thing led to another. Yeah.
Then he was like, I hate editing audio. Do you know anyone who edits audio? It's like, funny story. Yep. That's one of my passions. And then I think Elaine and I just kind of looked at each other like, man, wait a second. We basically are like right. Yeah. Like we're married. It's like a perfect gig. Like we literally do all this for fun anyway. Mm-hmm. So why not make it into a business?
And then, so that was in 2019. And then 2020, because of COVID and everything, everybody went online, everybody went digital. And that's when our business, our media business just skyrocketed because everybody was on Zoom and wanted to share their community, their story, their all of their content and stuff.
Yeah. So. Which is around the same time. I think we met some guy named Mark Condon.
Yep.
Because I had kicked the tires around, like, I think it was like January of 2020. Mm-hmm. David DeStell introduced Cody and I don't know. I think I like kind of just like punted it for a little bit. Cause I don't know what which I'm is doing with the podcast. Like, you know, which is what?
It's funny. I think David's the one that was introduced to us, to that very first girl that we were talking about who had the podcast, who hired Elaine to do the show notes. So that's how we met David.
No kidding.
He wanted a podcast, but like never even like, I guess like, I don't know if he ever went through with it or not, but like, I never even heard back from him.
Oh, I'm going to have to call him out. I think they definitely have a podcast.
I know, right? And it definitely like, hey, he introduced us to you. Out. So
yeah, it worked out. Yeah, because I kicked the tires for like a month or two, and I was like, I don't know, like this seems like a lot of work. And then COVID hit, and I was like, you know what? What the hell? Because like initially, it was like, all right, this is a way for me to meet other business owners. I work with business owners, other successful entrepreneurs. And then I was like, all right, why don't I just shift the focus on just helping promote local companies? And then here we are, like 99 episodes in. So it's been wild, and it's just kind of crazy. We've successfully released one episode a week with your help for the last almost like, I think it'll be 99 episodes in like 106 weeks or something like that. Yeah. I think like the last 80 have been pretty consistent. So couldn't have done that without the two of you, which has been, it's been a lot of fun. So like regarding 2020, it popped. You guys do way more than just like podcast editing and all that stuff. Like what are the full suite of services that Reckless Media does?
Yeah. So our specialty, we'll start there. We offer more than just that, but our specialty is being able to take either, you know, like a podcast or a business and be able to create kind of an entire media plan for them. And so we work with a lot of businesses and we will, you know, a lot of times we encourage starting a podcast because it's something, it's like a once a week thing you can commit to it. It's something easy for a lot of businesses to commit to. Yeah. And it's a great networking tool.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And so we encourage that a lot. Also, it's an entire hour of video content because like right now, I know a lot of people are listening to this, but if they visit your social, there are going to be clips from this shared, you know, throughout the weeks. And so it works really well to be able to have these owners or, you know, managers, whoever they are, to sit down and just talk to other people for an hour and then be able to take that. You know, we take that long form, we edit it out, you know, master everything to industry standards, take out mess ups, all that. I know a lot of people don't hear, but I always love dialogue in the background. It's like where people, you're in the middle of a conversation and I get to hear all these other things that go on, right? It's like, hey, Cody, just remove all of that right there. Like, just take that whole section. Yeah. And so like, you know, there's literally no extra time, hopefully, from a business owner's perspective. They can literally, while they're recording, say, hey, do this, do that. We take that. We listen through it by hand twice through. I go through it completely and do all the editing. Then Elaine goes back through, does all the show notes. She's a fantastic writer, luckily, because that is not my forte. She goes through, takes all that, does the research, gets all the backlinks, all that kind of stuff, you know, listens through it, pulls out the highlights, all that kind of thing. And then we go back through it again and pull out all kind of video snippets, anything we can share like that for social. And then aside from that, other services we offer, I'm going to keep talking. You want to say anything?
I was going to say, I offer like a blogging as well, either to go with the podcast or separately to talk about different events that's going on or again, blogging about the podcast, taking a specific topic from the podcast episode and writing an entire blog about that. Also like PowerPoint presentations. We've helped people with their coursework and coaching classes, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then now we even do like more so for social, but even into like commercial type style videography and shooting and stuff like that. And now we even travel for that. Mm-hmm. So we're no longer bound to, you know, most of our work is remote, but now that COVID stuff is, you know, well, I don't know if it's one way, but it's, at least it's laxed a whole lot, right? So, yeah. You know, we're able to travel and like come on site and do video work and work through content creation with people, even teach them how to do this content mm-hmm. that works. Elaine and I both have like separate passion projects. So, like I said, I do my music under the moniker Braille Atlas, and then she does fashion history and fashion education under the moniker of the Fashion Psych for a fashion psychologist. Mm-hmm. Together, you know, we have a pretty significant social following independently. I think you have around 20,000 on TikTok, and mine's, mm-hmm. you know, over 600 now, 600,000 at this point.
What?
And so like, yeah.
Holy shit.
And then my Instagram, I think, is like 58,000. Yeah,
it's close to 60.
Yeah. And so short form content is like what mm-hmm. our passion is. And we love teaching people how to do short form content.
What we do outside of client work.
Too. Yeah. So, So I guess that kind of encompasses all of Reckless Media. So, I mean, it's everything, you know, from minimizing the time commitment all the way to teaching you how to do it yourself. So,
It's funny. So two things. One, I remember when we first started working together, you've probably learned this over to you. Like I like to have some sort of control. In the first like couple months, like I remember I was like trying to give you like, this is the title, like choose these videos from like this second to this second. I don't remember how long I did it for. I'm like, this is a lot of work. And you guys will be like, well, we do this. I'm like, really? I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, this is a lot more work than I thought. And it's just like, it's been unbelievable. Like, for anyone listening, like, we record the episode, we have a shared Google Drive. I drop the audio and the video in there. They do all of the work behind the scenes, upload it back to the shared drive, and then I post it on social. Like, I do nothing in between. And I was just like mind blown when you were like, oh, well, Elaine can come up with the name like for you and all this. I'm like, oh, well, that's a lot off of my plate. Like, that sounds like a great idea. And it takes a while for me to like fully trust people. Like, I don't do anything and just let other people handle it. And it's like, I think we did that within a couple of months. There's probably a long couple of months for you guys, because you had to deal with me trying to figure out like exactly which seconds I want recorded for like these videos. But it's been unbelievable since I realized you guys do all of that. You do all the show notes. The names are awesome that you come up with. There's so many cool names that I wouldn't have come up with on my own. So
we'll see. And to even touch base with what you're saying there, you know, we have clients work both ways. We have some clients that are very particular about what they want. That's completely okay. But also like one of our big things, and we've even grown since, you know, because we've worked with you for a while. And like I said, our business has grown substantially, but even we handle social now, you know, even down to posting outside of just for podcasts, like we create entire content schedules for people and manage all the different channels, which is not schedulable, sadly, because Instagram Reels and TikTok and YouTube, and none of them allow you to schedule. And it's just, anyway.
That's a lot of time intensive work on.
We pride ourselves in doing the absolute best, to be very available. You know, we have a limited amount of clients we take on at any given time because we want to be available. And
it's just us two.
It is us two. We do not outsource this work. I'm the one, my ears are going through it. Elaine's ears are going through it. It's our eyes on the, you know, we don't outsource. And the other thing is we pride ourselves in being very familiar with your brand so we can speak as if we are your brand, if you hire us to do that much. And so we want to make sure that we're representing our clients as efficiently as possible to speak the language that their clientele speak to get into, you know, their into their bubble, right? Yeah. So it represents them well. I'd be very upset if we weren't able to do that. You know, like that's something that I really take a lot of pride in. So
yeah, so it's like more quality over quantity. You pump out like high quality stuff over just taking on as many clients as possible. Because ultimately, if you put out like shitty content, people aren't going to work with you, right? So you know, you got to make sure you have high quality content to go with. Going back to the Zoom thing real quick. So obviously you guys, business was starting to pick up before that. And obviously Zoom, COVID Zoom world exploded it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you guys noticed the shift? Like, I know I'm myself going into, I'm kind of like a hybrid now. I go in a couple of days a week, work from home a few days a week. Has that affected you guys at all?
I would say everything. I mean, as of this point, like almost every single thing we do is through Zoom.
The only thing I will say, some of our clients, whenever we started working with them pre-COVID and they were in studio, and then all of COVID, it was on Zoom. And then now they're slowly going back to in the studio. For a couple of them. And that's really the biggest change on our end.
But from everyone we've witnessed, just being able to do it through Zoom, it's a lot easier to get the content, right? It's already recording. Oh, totally. You already got your camera. Yeah. Like, it's just there. It makes more sense. And then B, like, it's so much more convenient to work it into your daily life, right? especially in our industry, a lot of people, and I will just straight up say this, podcasting is not something you go into to, you know, become like the next huge like spokesperson and just become a celebrity. It's possible to blow up on podcasting and do that. But a true podcasting strategy is, what business do I have and how can I serve an audience? Really, a podcasting is a is part of, I hate the sales funnel analogy, but if you, so a podcast is a great way to show up every single week, knock out networking with other people, and you're creating like this established presence where there, I mean, think about how many episodes you have. There is like 80 hours of your voice, or like you allowing people to have their voice projected on your platform, something you created out there on the internet. Think of how much people know you now, are familiar with your voice. You know, whenever you get on a call to do what you do for a living, if they've listened to that podcast any at all, they already know your manner of speaking. They know what you think is funny. They know what you take seriously. They know your morals without you ever having to do any of this to try to set that groundwork. You've already established a presence with them far beyond like what it would take, like the amount of time sink for every single client to do that. That's where podcasting
is. And you're not only building a relationship with your guests, but also the listener as well. Like people who listen to your show, they're like, oh, I know this person. Right. Like I listen to them every week. Like it's that online relationship.
Yeah, totally.
I totally agree. Because especially in my business, and we're not going to get into my business, but in my business is all relationships, right? Yeah. People need to trust you with your finances. They need to trust you as a person and like you. And so, yeah, building that relationship with people, for people to like just listen in and trust me as they listen is, is a huge component of the just the networking aspect. I've met so many cool people just by doing the podcast. But if I didn't have good content because of you guys, then I probably wouldn't be as, you know, as ingrained in the network that I am. So,
well, and if you ever, if anyone listening right now is like, man, I want to hear more from Mark. I just want to go ahead and give a teaser that I've already heard the next episode. It's pretty good. So.
All right. So you guys do, so social media management, the stat side of things, is that, so that's not just for people that do podcasts. That's for like just branding for other services and businesses.
Correct. So people do? Yeah, just real quick on that. We've actually, so we started out focusing just on podcasting because we didn't want to, I mean, you know, as a business, you start one place, you know, it's one of the hardest things is like trying to narrow down where to start. Right. So we started where we were strong, where we knew we could serve the best. And now we're, as we have learned, as we have grown, as we have helped other people, we're kind of getting into that now where we can offer, you know, even like video, like color branding, like trying to get that message as clear as possible. And now, yeah, we handle social from like graphic creation to video content creation stuff across the board, not really even helping, just podcasters.
Yeah, really helping businesses serve their community. And whether you're a dentist or a florist or a local gym, just really helping people connect in a digital format.
And I will go ahead and say this too, showing up regularly. We typically don't take one-off jobs. We do some one-off work with like people who are already established clientele, but most of our stuff is like, it's almost like a subscription model, right? Like you know, it's like a month-to-month thing where we are guaranteeing X amount of content where you can stay active. A lot of companies, I'm not trying to dog anyone here, a lot of content creation is like, I'm going to make you this awesome one-off thing. And then what, you know, like then you have nothing else. And on social, you kind of, if you're going to play the social game, you kind of have to stay in front of people's faces. Even running social ads, you have to stay and like constantly be refreshing them and stuff because, you know, your message is constantly being refined and changed. And so that's kind of like more of our specialty is being able to continuously show up with you and your business online.
Yeah, you have to continuously post. I mean, you can't just make one post, hope it goes viral, and just never show up again. Like you have to be like omnipresent because someone might buy from you, but they might buy from you the 17th time you've posted something in the last like 17 days, you know?
Right.
How big is the social media piece for promoting? Like one, I guess two things. Like one, how did you guys start promoting your company, what you guys do? Was it mainly word of mouth with the podcast? Did you promote it on social? And then like how big of a deal is social media promotion? I mean, if Cody has 600,000 followers, I feel like you got like a decent idea of how it works and like the what's the word I'm looking for? Like just the strength behind social media.
Yeah. Social media is a weird game. You know,
it's constantly changing too.
Yeah. It's something, I mean, every single day, like literally last night and today, Elaine and I have been racking our brains because Facebook is now in like the Reels business along with Instagram trying to compete with TikTok. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like another one trying to do this. Yeah. And so, but the problem is Facebook won't show you your analytics unless you like go three pages deep into their stuff. And like, we were trying to figure out analytics for these. So how do we like reflect to tell clients, like how, you know, how their stuff's performing? Like social is a weird game.
And though, a lot of like our personal stuff, again, like Cody said, he has music stuff, I have fashion stuff. A lot of stuff is very trial and error on our own end. Like
we're guinea pigs.
Yeah. We're our own guinea pig. Like we'll play around with different fonts. We'll play around with, okay, should we have a long caption or a short caption? What should our call to action be? Can it be the same hashtags? Like all the little things that go into it. And then after a few weeks, a few months, we're like, okay, this is working, this isn't working. And then we're able to coach our clients on, hey, you are in this industry, you have this type of content, this will do well on any given platform.
Or even just being able to help refine what we're already creating for them anyway.
Yeah.
So to touch base a little bit more on that, social media is extremely important to some brands and not as important to others, right? For us personally, we have gained clients both ways. I would say 80% is word of mouth, because word of mouth is, I mean, let's be honest, it's the driving factor for all businesses.
Totally.
But the majority of our clients have heard about word of mouth and then went and found us elsewhere to verify what those people were saying. Mm-hmm. So even so, like a strong web presence has been very good for our business. You know, if anything else, like I said, it gives us some validity, kind of like the podcast, right? Like it's kind of the same principle. They can go, they can hear our voice. They can see what we're about before actually committing to hopping on a call with us and talking to us and telling us what they need. It kind of takes a little bit of that vulnerability out of it. Yeah. Another big thing with just all of that is, like Elaine was saying, the social media world is constantly changing. We have scrapped pages before. As a matter of fact, we just did it again.
Yeah.
The Instagram that we're linking for this episode is a different Instagram. The reason being is because sometimes we've had that other Reckless Media page pre-Reels. It was pre-before all Reels coming out and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, Facebook did this really weird buggy thing. I just did it with a Facebook page in mind too, because Facebook's pushing into Reels now. So I actually deleted my personal business, like my personal brand's Facebook page, and started an entire new Facebook page for it. Just because when you're fresh on the scene, a lot of times it pushes your content out to more people because they want to hook you into creating more content.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole other science of like how to be a business, but not look like a business because so many people are used to being trying to be sold something.
Right.
So my biggest piece of advice with all of that is always aim to educate and entertain when it comes to social media. But, and to answer your question, you know, kind of long story short, it's extremely important even for word of mouth, because it gives you that validity and gives your client something to hold on to and to trust to see if they like you even before they actually meet you.
Yeah, that's a whole world that like I've tried doing on my own in the past. And like I've given up. Like you'll see, like I'll say it out loud, like all the posts on Boston's Best page, like hashtags are always the same. It's just like I add in a few like that I believe are relative to you know, the if it's a brewery, like I'll put in craft, I'll put in beer, like I'll put in that type of stuff. But it's so hard to figure out like what works and what doesn't. I never know. So.
And a lot of it comes down to, you know, trial and error. You'll try something and it'll work, and then the next time it won't, and you're sitting there, why did that not work again?
It's like you'll have a video and it's like, wow, this is getting thousands of views. And the next one is like 10 views. And it's like, this is the same format, same time. Like,
yes. And the goal is to promote as much as I can for all the guests on the podcast. And I'll post one, I'll get like 5,000 views. I'm like, All right. I posted it at 6:35. It was a reel on like a Tuesday. And then like
74 degrees outside. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then the next Tuesday I do I take notes. And the next Tuesday I do the exact same thing. I get like 63 views. I'm like, what the hell? Like I don't understand. This makes no sense. Incredibly frustrating. You can't help but to look at the views and all that stuff. You can't help it. So it's incredibly frustrating. What are you going to say?
I was going to say those monthly statistics help a whole lot with that. You got to force, as the business owner, it's so hard. You got to like force yourself to scale out. It's like, okay, I've gained like 20% of the view, like that kind of stuff. So, but it's still frustrating.
It's tough. So let's go back a little bit. When you guys first started, like one of my favorite questions to ask is like, what were some of the early challenges that you guys had starting Reckless Media, and what were some of the early successes where you realized that you guys, you know, this is a pretty good business going forward?
Early challenges, you got any of those off the top of your head?
Really, I guess understanding like how we wanted to market, because we were doing it like for friends and stuff on like side jobs, but we were like, okay, how do we name the business? Like, what do we post online? Way like like Cody said, previous like TikTok and Reels and everything, like how do we get started? Like, what are we just podcast, like for podcasters? What type of podcasters? And like really just understanding like who we were even for before we started saying, hey, we have this service.
Well, and so for me, like I come from a background that is kind of money, I have a scarcity mindset with money. Yep. So, you know, it was very much like you have to save, you have to do this. Like people are like, oh, it's just how life is. Like it's always out to get you. Like, you know, that kind of mentality, whether or not like my father's an extremely hard worker. He works 16-hour days, 7 days a week. He sleeps about 3 hours a night. He's a superintendent at a baseball stadium. Like he's had the same, worked the same job since he was 13. I think this is his 45th year at the same job. Like he's just this hard worker, but he always told me to take risks. Like that's the one thing he regretted is not taking more risks. But at the same time, he wasn't able to take as many of those risks. You know, he grew up like literally government subsidized housing, like extremely impoverished. And like found and makes a, you know, makes a good paycheck, but then he wanted me to be able to take his ceiling and like that be my floor kind of thing. Right. And so I had to get over though, even some of those things that I watched through him, even though he wasn't telling me to do that. Right. So I had to try to get through some of those things.
Yeah.
And so the concessionaire business that we have, I bought it from my parents. My mother got really sick and she wasn't able to run it anymore. But I helped them start it when I was 15. So we all kind of started as a family unit. My mom got really sick and wasn't able to run anymore. So Elaine and I took it over when we were engaged, which was 2016. But trying to start Reckless Media was like this whole other thing, right? Like I know the grunt work. I know what it's like to show up, to prep, to cook, to get things ready. Like I know that physical, but this is like all digital. And this was something I always did for fun. And there was this weird mental shift that I had to take that it's like, hey, I have a skill that I can offer. That I'm good at and like trying to frame it in a sense of like, I don't have to be afraid of like failure in that. Like failure doesn't have to be something scary. Let's just go for it. Yeah. And then I think the success to that was, you know, one thing led to another. And before you knew it, like during COVID, our other job shut down completely. Yeah. There was no baseball of that year. Like, you know, that was our primary income. But all of a sudden we were making more money doing this than we had ever made from that. And like it reframed my entire way of thinking. And like that fear I had of trying to go out and just start something, it just kind of went away. I was like, man, like you can do this. Like it's out there if you just go for it.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's cool. That's a cool story. Cause I've ever since COVID hit, like I've kind of had the mentality, like if it scares you and excites you at the same time, you should go for it. Like, it's probably something worth pursuing. Like before we started recording this, like I told you, my wife and I are going off on another venture and, you know, you're investing in it. You know, it definitely takes some capital. And at times I'm like, I have a 7-month old daughter now. Like, should I be doing this? Like I have a good job. Like things are consistent. I don't have to really worry about too much. You know, that's the safe route. And I get like, but then I start talking about it and I see how excited I get about the product and the possibility of the future. It's like, you got to go for it. So I just love that mentality that you're sharing. So how did you guys end up, Elaine alluded to this a little bit. How did you guys come up with the name Reckless Media?
Okay. So we also have a podcast on top of all the other things we do.
Of course.
So I had mentioned that I had left the church as a pastor. So just to quickly touch on that, I had a lot of like hurt walking away from that world.
It was a long process.
It was a long process. And so in the process of all of that, whenever we walked away, we realized there was a lot of people that have been hurt by religion. And this is not to dog, like we're still, you know, religious people, if you want to look at it that way, I guess. But like in a lot of ways, there was just a lot of hurt, a lot of trauma, a lot of therapy, like a lot of gaslighting, a lot of, you know, just a lot of crap. Yeah. And we started our podcast called The Reckless Pursuit, and it's literally a safe place for people who have those hurts to come and talk and to voice, you know, whether they have walked away, whether whatever they believe now, we want to create a community for people who have had some kind of religious trauma to come together and to try to find, you know, what it means to live life and to be human. Right. And so it's the name of it was The Reckless Pursuit. You know, kind of playing off of the idea of like a lot of people, whenever you walk away from like when you grow up in this one institution and then you kind of branch out from that, a lot of people think you're being pretty reckless, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're gambling your soul, blah, blah, blah. And so going through that, you know, we're pursuing this thing. And so Reckless Media was originally birthed, the name, as kind of like the overall like container for the reckless pursuit. And so now I'm having to like convince clients that we're not actually reckless people and we're actually pretty strategic.
It's a fun name, exactly. I don't know.
But yeah, so it's kind of a weird story how we got it, but it has to do with the podcast.
Well, that's really cool. That's really cool. It's really cool what you're doing with the podcast. And it is a cool name. Like, it's never crossed my mind that you guys might be reckless. So, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Good. Then we're doing something right.
Yeah. I don't think people actually associate it with it. It's just a cool
name. It's a misnomer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, with all the all the clients you guys have, all the podcasts you've heard, I'd just be kind of curious, obviously, outside of Boston's Best, what are like some of your favorite podcasts? Clients that you guys have, like longest running, like what are some of those like criteria? What do those things look like?
For podcasts we edit, ironically, we do a lot in the health field. We do a lot in people. Actually, we do a lot in addiction treatment. Somehow, we've gotten kind of in that
mental
space.
Mental health, even.
So, kind of alluding back to my mom being sick. My mom's sickness was a sickness with addiction, and so that's kind of like a passion of ours. So, helping people kind of like through those that can't control, you know, like their problems, right? Like it's a sickness. It really is. And so I'm always passionate about those. And we're involved in three different podcasts that are in that field just because like I lost my mother to that in 2018. And so like, I'm extremely passionate toward that. Now from an entertainment perspective, now I'm always passionate about small business, any kind of podcast, like what you have going on. I'm always for it. Like Elaine and I have a million ideas going a million different directions all the time. So like, I want to help people start businesses. I want to see them get out of the 9-to-5. Like, you know, I didn't do well in school. I don't do well in a 9-to-5. Like I get it. And like our society doesn't do well with those types of people. Like we're the outcasts, right? The rebels. And so we're a little reckless. And so,
there you go.
Yeah. So like your show, you know, we've had a few business podcasts. Mm-hmm. Like I love it. I also love what you do in general. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. So I'll edit it out if I'm not. Yeah. I love the idea of like financial planning, because when we started like understanding, you know, health insurance and taxes and like how to start prepping for all this stuff was so the last thing on my mind, right? Like, it's like, I just want to know how to make a living and not have to sit behind a desk every day. Yeah. That's what I want. Yep. And so like, I love what you do, because a lot of people probably, or I don't know if you feel this way or whatever, but like on the surface, it's like, man, I don't want to talk about, I want to go out and do the fun thing, right? Like start a business. But like at the same time, like if you can get those, like those fundamentals down in the beginning, man, like that's so much better for you in your growth in the long stuff. We're playing catch up on now because we were young and didn't know. And then where was I? I just completely got off topic. What do you have to say?
I was going to say my favorite type of podcasts are the business, small business, entrepreneur stuff. I took a lot of those classes in college. And like I was talking about earlier, one of my favorite classes in college was whenever like the whole semester, we just had small business owners come in and talk about their businesses that I loved. I was there every week. Like I just loved writing the essays about them and learning about the businesses, and also the networking aspect of it and building community and everything. And even if like businesses, like industry wise, may be different, but they all have like purpose behind them. They all have heart behind them. And really it's all about the community. And so anything that any podcast or business that's wanting to serve their community in any capacity, I'm like, I'm for it. That is my favorite.
And then Elaine has her personal, like every time I walk into the room and she's like writing stuff, and then she's listening to like
Crime Junkie
because she wanted to be a forensic anthropologist. So I walk in there, it's like, and they lost their limbs. I was like, what are you listening to? How can you sit there and work to this?
That's awesome. That's awesome. To echo what Elaine said, like it's been fun with just doing it with all these small businesses. There's so many companies that I didn't know of at all. Like I'll give Will from IQ Bar a shout out. Like I'm a regular customer of theirs. Like I get the IQ Bars like shipped like every 6 weeks. I get now he has an IQ Mix. I get that shipped every 4 weeks for like post-workout electrolytes. Like I'm hooked. Like I'm and he's going to come out with at some point he wants to come out with like a third leg to like be under the full, like IQ, have like an IQ brand. And I just love what he's doing. Like, I don't know how long it would have taken me to like know who they are, or even buy their product if it weren't for the podcast. So like just promoting, be like learning from so many different businesses in the Boston area has just been like really cool to do for so many different reasons. Do people ever call you guys and ask you to do something that you don't do? Like, is there any like misunderstandings or misconceptions about what it is you
get? We had a pet psychic reach out one time.
Yeah.
A pet psychic?
Yeah.
But did they want to start a podcast or?
Yeah.
Well, they had a podcast and they wanted me to take over like editing and email marketing and stuff like that. And it just wasn't, it just didn't work.
So I'll go into this a little bit more because I'm not scared to talk about it. So they reached out while we were camping. And so we told them like, hey, this is like our 1 week that we're not able to get to our phone. We have no service. We will circle back after this. Came back and basically this person wanted a lot. They wanted a podcast, all of their email marketing every single day handled, all of their social handled. And whenever we told them just even like our podcast editing prices, they literally laughed in our face. And I was like, you know, it was like, hey, that's fine. Like, we're kind of particular about who we take. Mm-hmm. Like, we're very much like, we're for small businesses. We're for people who have a mission behind what they're doing. And I understand, like, to her, this is a very important thing, like, right? This is her business. Yeah. But like, it's not something that really, we didn't align with her. We didn't align with that. And we're not afraid to say no.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just, it's part of it. If we're going to have to listen to this every single week and we're going to have to represent your brand, mm-hmm. we have to be passionate about
it. Yeah. We want to enjoy it.
Right.
And I can't it's just, that's not my thing. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and the other thing is, we specialize in taking a little and making a lot. And so we're not the cheapest podcast producer. You know, I've been in audio for 10 years and graphics for longer than that. Like Elaine's, you know, she has her degree in small business and in psychology. Like she took consumer psychology mm-hmm. classes. Like she knows how to write to get into people's heads. Like this isn't, you know, we didn't just start doing
this. Wake up one day and say, oh, we're going to do this and have understanding of what we're doing.
And so when we do it, we're very specific to go to people who want to put their brand out there and to branch their brand out. And so that being said, like, you know, whenever you want email marketing and social and mm-hmm. all of that, it's going to cost more than $300 a month. I'm sorry. Like it just does. Yeah. You know, you're wanting 20 hours a week of work for 2 or 3 hours of pay. So we have had some interesting people reach out before that we have had to turn away.
I'm sure. That's a good story though. What do you guys, you guys are young people that, you know, the business hasn't been around for, you know, it's only been around for a few years. Like, what do you guys see for the future of Reckless Media?
Ooh.
We're constantly talking about this too.
Yeah.
Well, because like this today.
Yeah. Well, recently, like we had said, we're branching into more of the commercial videography type of stuff. And I would love to like be able to travel like full time and do like that and go connect with people and everything. People, like I always say that my three biggest goals in life is to drink good coffee, to travel and meet amazing people and have deep conversations. And so I feel like if I funnel everything through those three things, then I'm good.
Yeah. And so to kind of echo that, like I said, we're pushing into the video side. Mm-hmm. We're getting close to the place of needing to hire a third hand to be able to help with the social media management side. We're still going to create all of the content. It'll still be us creating everything, but having someone who can just daily go in and kind of help scheduling because, you know, social is a big job. And like we said, we alluded to earlier, you can't schedule hardly any mm-hmm. of it anymore. So definitely growing it that way.
It can't be us too forever.
Not if you want to grow. Like
not if you want to grow.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then, you know, we're working on some of our personal stuff, some brand affiliations and mm-hmm. things like that. And then trying to help other people. We really want to get into training other people and helping them kind of learn how to do some of that social stuff on their end, too. Because as much as we can go in and we can handle business promotion and stuff, we also want to teach people to be able to represent themselves mm-hmm. as well. And so kind of getting into that side of things, too. And then in the future, I mean, hey, like, ultimately, I want to be able to do a lot bigger jobs. I want to be able to take on more for people and to grow this thing. But Elaine and I will always be the spearhead of it, you know, because creatives and business owners alike, you know, because business owners are creatives, you know, we kind of have to keep our hand in it all mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool. I'm excited to see what's in store for you guys. Outside of work, I don't know how you guys have any time. It sounds like, but like outside of work, what are some of the hobbies that you guys enjoy doing?
On occasion, we go to bed.
Yeah. yes. Sometimes.
You get 3 hours of sleep too? Yeah.
No, we try to get at least, you know, six.
Yeah. So. Okay. I get cranky. So yeah.
She gets cranky. Yeah.
That's why you need coffee.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, again, I'm really into fashion, and whether it's like fashion history or like style psychology, really understanding like why we wear what we wear, stuff like that. And then together, like we do a lot of hiking, backpacking, camping, all of that stuff.
RV Which are life. Also brainstorming sessions, yes. because I don't think there's ever been a hiking trip we haven't walked out going, man, we've got to rethink everything.
Or recorded a podcast. Like we
did a lot of podcasts out in the woods hiking. Yeah,
we have been hiking, just recording in our voice memo.
That's awesome.
Other than that, big outdoor, outdoorsy mm-hmm. people. For me personally, it's music production. I write instrumental music primarily. So, I do a lot of that. Like I said, it really is. I turn off someone's podcast. I get through editing their stuff, click a new tab and I'm working on my stuff. So outside of that though, I mean, that kind of takes all of the time. Mm-hmm. So
that's what I remember for an earlier conversation, Cody and I had, actually all three of us, it was a Zoom. It's a few months ago. You guys have talked about, you've always wanted to visit Salem, mm-hmm. Mass.
Yes. So
you guys are into that stuff too, right?
Oh, yeah. I love Halloween. It's my favorite holiday. Like we go to like Comic-Con and stuff like that. Any chance to like dress up and make our own like costumes and everything.
I'll have to send you a picture. There's like five different masks hanging above me right here of like different costumes we've created. So.
And then we always have like a big Halloween party every year. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, whenever you guys do, not if, when you come to Salem, give me a shout. I think.
Oh, we will.
It's under 45 minutes, probably half an hour for me if I had to guess.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So give me a show. So you guys know the format, the final three questions that we're going to get to. The first one I would start with is, what would be the first piece of advice that you would give someone who's looking to start their own business? You've heard 98 of these.
Yes.
We were talking about this in the line at Kroger buying groceries 2 days ago. We've literally been rehearsing this. Go for it.
Yeah. So for me, I would just say build a network, whether that's resources, community, just a mentor, people that you admire in the same industry or similar industries, and really just talk to them. How did they get started on their business? What resources do they have? And just really collaborate in any way that you can with other people.
So for me, I would say to not be afraid of failure. To be really honest, to start a business costs less than most people spend going out to eat. To get an LLC is not expensive. To incorporate a business is not expensive. There are a lot of professionals out there whose job is to help you with that. There's a lot of resources on the internet whose job is to help you with that.
Yep.
And I understand there's capital. I understand depending on what you're getting into. I understand a lot of people have full-time jobs and they can't just quit their job to jump into that. But start, you don't have to. And this is something that I have learned a lot is a lot of times as business owners, we have this huge grand vision of what we want everything. But we think to ourselves, if we can't start there, then it's not going to be successful. And what we've learned, especially with Reckless Media, is start with what you know well and then grow and then find other people who can come alongside you to help you either learn those other things and or, that can take part of the job to do those other things, Like I'm not a math and numbers person, but I can edit picture, and video and audio all day. So I don't worry with trying to file taxes in the year. I pay someone for that. I don't have to know all of that. Like trying to incorporate, I would just soon pay someone $100 to walk me through filing an LLC than I would try to fight it myself. It's not that expensive to get going. And the worst case scenario is you write it off on your taxes at the end of the year as a failed business.
Right.
Exactly. Like whoop-de-do.
Right. Yeah. No, so to first with what Elaine said, the networking piece, it's huge. Like when I first started this industry, I had no experience and I joined a networking group and, in the finance space, like you want a good CPA, you want a good estate planning attorney. Up until recently with the mortgage rates going up, like a good loan advisor. So to have people just provide value to people to go refi their mortgages from, 6% to 3%, having that really strong network was huge for me because I was looked at as like a value add to my clients, even just friends, if they weren't like work with me specifically. And then, what Cody said, people won't invest, think $1,000 to invest in their own company is a lot of money, but then they'll go get the latest iPhone. And it's I mean, I understand nowadays, this isn't like 2005, like an iPhone has pretty much everything you need on there, but let's be honest, like you know, $1,000 to invest in your own business isn't that much money, but people just don't do it for whatever reason.
If you rode the crypto wave last year, you probably lost more in crypto than it costs to start a business.
Legally, I cannot talk about crypto.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I can see what you're saying with that. And I don't know how old you guys are, so I don't know how close to 18 you are. I don't think you're too close to 18, but this question I always ask people.
I'm 28, just so you know.
Okay, so you got a decade. Elaine?
Yeah.
I'm 26.
Okay, so it's a little far enough. Yeah. If you could tell your 18-year-old selves one thing, what would you tell them? And to flip it a little bit, if you're not sure, like what would you want to tell your 60-year-old self now?
Ooh, that's a new one. How dare you?
The first one I've ever asked.
Okay, I'll take this one since I gave you the last one. So what I would tell my 18-year-old self versus what I would tell another 18-year-old is a little bit different. Me personally, I would say it's going to be okay. You know, I had a kind of a crazy tumultuous time when I was 18. That's whenever my mom started getting really sick and I had kind of quickly moved out and like life changes and all that. But then again, a lot of people have a lot of big life changes when they're 18. Yeah. I would tell myself, just keep going. Like, it's going to be okay. You're not making the wrong decision. Like, yeah, just keep going. Like, life's going to work out. You're going to learn. Even if you make the wrong decision, you're still learning. Yeah. That would be that. To tell my 60-year-old self, ooh, from this point, take care of yourself. Like, just keep taking care of yourself. Like, prioritize your time. Time is precious. It's, you know, like, take time for your family. Don't get so caught up looking through your phone. Like, be present. Yep. Because that's something I have to fight with all the time, staying present to where I'm at right now. I'm always thinking of the next 10 things. So,
yep. Yeah. What about you, Elaine?
I would tell my 18-year-old self that it's okay to not have all the answers, because whenever I was 18, like, I was going through a bad breakup. I was going to college and all my friends were moving away. I was going to college I didn't want to go to. And then I just had like mentors moving out of state and stuff. And so whenever I was 18, I was in like a really dark place. And at first, I originally went to college to be a forensic anthropologist. And then that quickly changed, like, my second semester of college. Like, everything, like, just completely changed for me. And originally, like, I had this entire map out of what my future was going to look like. I was going to have X, Y, and Z by the time I was 25 and all these things. And, like, my life doesn't look anything like I had originally planned, but it's better than I had originally planned. And that's okay. And then to my 60-year-old self, I would just say, I guess really just steal your answer.
Hey, that's
take
rude.
Care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah. Well, to take care of yourself, be present, to echo that, that has never been more top of mind to me than when you have a child. You know, like, I've caught myself, like, if she's just playing, playing with a toy or something. And like, I mean, she's just playing with a toy. Like, it's exciting, but after like 7 minutes, it's like, she's still playing with it. She thinks the toy is amazing. I'm bored.
Right.
I noticed myself grabbing my phone and like hit Instagram. It's like, Mark, just like put the phone away, like enjoy this moment, like with your daughter. And it's so difficult to do that this day and age with everything at the touch of a button.
Can I say something real quick to that?
Yeah.
So a lot of times business owners don't realize, you know, or adults in general don't realize they also deal with FOMO a lot. You know, it's just ours looks a whole lot less like, what's this person going to think of me? And a whole lot more like, am I going to have enough to provide? Am I still relevant? Like, am I doing enough?
Yeah.
And you know, kind of like, we're doing enough. It's okay. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Business owners work more than any 9-to-5 you could ever imagine. Yeah. You're good. Just breathe.
Yeah. I give myself a hard time too. Like, like before we started recording this episode, like I had lunch, I had like 45 minutes to kill. I was like, like, it's not gonna be enough for my day job where like I can like start and finish something. Like, I don't like to just leave stuff hanging. So I have a book that I'm in the middle of. I was like, I'll read the book. And it's like, oh, is that like a good use of those 45 minutes? And it's just like, Mark, like, give yourself a break. You read a book that's like, it's entrepreneurial. It's like, you know, it's about business and that, all that stuff. And it's helpful, but like, I like feel guilty that I'm like not doing enough, you know, in my day job. So it's just, I get it. I can rationalize with that very well.
I used to be extremely afraid to read fiction on anything. I would not read fiction. I don't think I read my first fiction book until 2020. And now, like, I love fiction because I realized like those 30 minutes just reading something that serves absolutely no purpose inspire me so much more than I could have ever dreamed, because it gave my brain a break. So.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I think I used to start every day with, I would read 30 minutes in the morning and then I would go to the gym. Now, like, I try to read like an hour on Saturdays and Sundays, and I'll go to the gym Monday through Friday because I can't do both with the daycare drop off. I don't have time to do that anymore. But now, like, I find myself not doing the reading on the weekends. Just, you know, everybody's awake and I just can't like get away for an hour to go read.
Yeah. So, balance.
Yeah, totally. So Cody and Elaine, last question. You guys know which question's coming. Everyone has a varying depiction of what success looks like to them. So how would you two define success?
The biggest thing to me is being able to look in the mirror every day and be proud of who you are and how you got there. You can have all the money, all the accolades, all the titles, all the material things, but if you are not proud of how you got there or who you are in the moment, then it's meaningless.
Fantastic.
Yeah. To echo that, I have two. The first one, which is arguably more important, is to remember that. I guess so. The success for me would be to remember that it's not what you do; it's who you are.
Yeah.
You know, that was a really it's hard because societally, you know, it's like, oh, hey, my name's so and so. What do you do? You know, like that's the next question. You know, if someone were to ask, well, like, who are you? Like, I just told you that's my name. Like, no, but like, who are you? Are you a good person? I don't know. Like, that's terrifying, right? But like, to realize like who you are as a person, your friends, your family, like who you are to them, who you are to strangers you meet, right? Like trying to leave other people a little bit better when you leave them is truly like the it's that's a sign of success, because what you do is just what we do to pay bills, because we've all agreed that like this piece of paper is worth something, right? Like, but you know, like you can hustle, you can do all that all day long, but you will get so much further by being a good human versus just being successful through like the stereotypical lens. And then the last thing, kind of echoing what I said earlier, which is a little less important, but also important to me, is, you know, I need my freedom of time. You know, if I want to work at something on midnight, that's okay. And if I don't want to do it today and need to put it off, as long as I have it done on time, like I personally need that freedom. So for me personally, success is being able to have that freedom in my schedule.
The two, well, three technically phenomenal answers. I couldn't agree more with everything you guys said. Cody and Elaine, thank you very much for coming on Boston's Best. Finally, this is long overdue. Episode 99. I was very excited to have you guys on here.
Oh, very proud to be here. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to say thank you for checking out my podcast. I really do appreciate the love I've received for this show. I believe now more than ever, any exposure to local businesses is great for them to receive, and I'm trying to do my part. If you are a local business owner or someone you know in the Boston area that would like to be featured on the podcast, please email me at bostonsbestpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please follow this podcast. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Instagram with the handle @BostonsBest_podcast, as well as Facebook at facebook.com/BostonsBestPodcast. Again, I truly appreciate the great feedback for this show, and stay tuned for each new episode every Friday at 8 a.m. Take care.